Hey guys, this is CTP with Barbell Shrug. For the video version of all these podcasts, go to our website, fitter.tv. That's FITR.TV. Check out the video version of all of them. They're a lot cooler. They're super juicy and tasty.
Even though you got an MD behind your name.
That's the most fucked part about the medical community. You're exactly right. Like, I was at the hospital maybe 2 weeks ago, and everywhere I look, all the nurses are overweight. The doctors aren't too bad, but the nurses are all overweight. I don't know why that is. Like, you have to be fat to be a nurse in a lot of cases, but they're everywhere.
You'd think they'd be thin because it's supposed to be the most on your feet job.
I think it's all the doctors' wives. It's a conspiracy to make all the nurses fat. Like, shit, I don't want them cheating on me at the hospital. So
I think that's a good argument for low intensity activity doesn't do as much as people think it does.
Right, because like nurses are on their feet all day long.
Yeah, nurses, like, you know, waitress runs around the restaurant the entire day serving food, gets home exhausted, and...
Well, my dad's a doctor, and he's incredibly fat, and he dips, and he's about the most unhealthy person I know. He gets up at, usually right before he goes to bed every night, he has a massive binge eating session of, like, he'll sit down and eat a whole box of fruit roll-ups.
Nice.
Do you think there's like a disconnect between medicine and health?
I've actually read some research about the psychology of people that go into medicine, and it's pretty bad. Like 75% of students in medical school. Now, this statistic is from 20 years ago, so I don't know recent, but 20 years ago, 75% of them were from alcoholic homes. It's kind of messed up, huh? Yeah, because they say it's the drive to save people like they couldn't save their parents.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know. So doctors are traditionally crazy. Like, there's all these stipulations in the insurance clauses about, like, how many times they can go to treatment, what type of treatment facilities they can be committed to before
like doctors?
Yeah, like, before they are not allowed to carry that, like, see people that have that kind of insurance. You know, it's really bizarre. Like, they can be committed to a hospital for drug and alcohol abuse, like, up to 3 or 4 times. But if they're committed to the psych ward, that's a different scenario. But yeah, it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Doctors are crazy.
I feel like most drive that people have usually stems from them actually running away from something. And you can spin it any way you want and make it really positive or really negative depending on whatever light you're trying to shine on it. But I feel like with the doctors thing, like, they can make the same argument for, I'm sure someone's probably done this, people in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
Especially like
CrossFit.
You know, every time I go to the Arnold, I hear somebody inevitably say, like, look at all those guys. They all have some type of self-image issue, like, or they wouldn't be out there, like, you know, trying to flex their muscles or something like that. But there might be something to that for a lot of people, but I bet you it's not just fitness or medicine. But you, any professional degree, if you like looked at their population as a whole, you could see they were running away from something in their past, and they all have this similarity that drives them to do what they do.
Yeah, like, they have this intense drive that I mean CrossFit is pretty masochistic.
Sure. Oh, I mean, CrossFitters are egomaniacs.
Going through med school is just torture, and being a CEO at some huge company is miserable, and you work 90 hours a week, and it's all probably got the same kind of drive.
Maybe.
Although maybe I should have channeled my drive in CrossFit into being a CEO of some Fortune 500 company.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we should try to figure out what we're running from. I don't know.
No, that's way too honest.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that. No,
no, maybe we should be at church right now.
That's right. We're podcasting instead of going to church.
It's Sunday morning.
That's right.
Yeah.
That would explain all the crazy psychologists I know. Like, everyone I know is
psychologists. That's exactly right. That's what I'm talking about.
All nuts, man.
Yeah, that's the same thing for that field. Yeah, that field's bad about that, too.
I want to solve my problems. Like, subconsciously, they're like thinking that. So I'm going to go to psychology school and learn how the mind works. And they spend all their time trying to figure out other people after that, and they're still crazy. So
easy.
All the psychologists I know, we've already had this out. So we've already had this argument. We good? Are we recording? Mm-hmm. We are. This is Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson and CTP behind the camera. Mm-hmm. He's got a microphone as well. It was Rebecca Brown with Steve's Club, Nashville. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and some fundraising opportunities.
Yep. I'm about to be launching. Well, I just held 13 events in Middle Tennessee. 13 Beat the Streets I organized, which is the national WAD for raising money. It's similar to Fight Gone Bad, Amazing Grace. It was a workout that was done by a lot of gyms in the nation to raise money for local branches. And I'm here this weekend to talk to the masterminds of holding competitions about how to get a couple big events going.
Can you tell me who the masterminds you are talking about?
Faction Strength and Conditioning Masterminds. The Bledsoes, Doug McGoldrick, everybody that has put together what is talked about as being the most organized, well-run event in the Southeast,
in history.
So there's going to be a lot of sad people that they may not continue.
Yeah, we're not going to do Faction Games as a two-day event this year. So we're looking at doing... Oh, my microphone went flaccid. All right. It's like, no wonder I can't hear myself.
No comment.
Too well. So, we won't be doing this year. We might do a single-day event. I think it just got a little overwhelming for us. But I think the reason we did a good job in the past is because we have a really good team. So maybe we can, like, get some of our team out to you to help you out with yours, because... I think that's a huge part of it. Just making sure you have a lot of highly committed volunteers.
Yeah. Part of the reason it was so well run is part of the reason that we're not doing it anymore, because we took like all of our resources to make this event as awesome as possible.
Right.
And then it took away from a lot of other things we were doing. So I think we're just going to take a break. I don't think it's going to go away forever, but maybe this year we're going to tone it back a little bit, and then maybe next year we can blow it up big again.
Right. Yeah. Which I'm hoping it'll be okay. That'll work out. For me, since I'm doing this pretty much full time, that hopefully I won't get as burnt out as you guys.
If it's your full time deal, then I think there's a really good opportunity to do a really great job and feel good about it instead of like feeling like.
I hope so.
You could be doing.
I hope so. I got here and I think I talked to Ashley first, and she was like, "It was horrible." I was like, "Oh no, what am I getting myself in for?"
It's always fun during it, and afterwards we're like, "Man, that was cool." And then we have to like remember, no, don't forget, like before it started, in the months leading up to it, we were not having a good time.
Right.
Not every day, anyway. Like there's some ups, but there was a lot of like, "God, I hate doing this," but you got to make it happen if you want to be a good event. So
right,
it wore on us a little bit. So I don't know, I feel like we're like putting you down on your event coming
up,
like
we're
discouraging you. Okay, so in an ideal world, what would your event, or what would like be the outcome of your event? If everything went perfectly, what would it look like, and what would happen afterward?
What it would look like is I would like to do a 2-day individual event that is as organized and well run as I can make it. I've got some OCD, so hopefully that's pretty.
That's good organized. For an event coordinator.
Yeah.
It is.
And then I would like to have an RX and a scaled division, 2-day individual, because besides the faction games, their 2-day individual competitions have kind of fallen to the wayside. And I think there's still a want for them, especially for people preparing for things like regionals, test their endurance. And at the end of it, I would like for everybody to have fun, everybody to find out about Steve's Club Nashville, coordinate a community effort. I'm really trying to make this a big Middle Tennessee, or even all of Tennessee. I'm all the way out in Memphis, all of Tennessee effort. And I'd like to grow. I like the ultimate outcome from having these events to be able to grow Steve's Club Nashville, to be able to reach out to more than one community. Because, I know the government just got this huge, the Tennessee government just did this huge program for going after childhood obesity, because it is so bad in Tennessee. And, the at-risk kids get the least amount of that. And they've probably got the worst nutrition.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Wait, so the event's not for the kids, the event's for CrossFitters?
The event is for CrossFitters.
Okay.
But, all the profits will go to funding Steve's Club Nashville.
Okay.
Or most of the profits, except for what goes into running the event.
Management.
Which, yeah.
Like, which they've been telling me about some of the stuff that goes into, you know, porta potties. I want to come, I want to have some really amazing prizes.
I thought you were going to say really amazing porta potties. I was like,
those would be nice too.
By the way, at Barbecue Fest, one of our friends and his, at his Barbecue Fest booth or tent or whatever, they ran an AC unit into their porta potty.
Every
booth got a porta potty.
Yeah.
I got pictures on my Facebook. It's legit.
Man, that would be nice.
I think I posted it on Twitter too. Yeah.
Yeah, that would get me there.
Another reason to follow me on Twitter.
Except I wonder how many times they had people just hanging out in their porta potty.
I think someone slept in it one night.
Gross.
All that, didn't it?
That's not. But no, I don't. I don't want amazing porta potties. I would like to have some amazing prizes. I've been emailing with the demonbells.com.
Yeah.
I got that demon bell from them for the top team out of all the gyms that held Beat the Streets.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are freaking sweet. They were out of the two-pood.
You got really one, right?
Yeah, I got a 54-pound one. And
isn't it weighted especially well for, like, kettlebell snatches and stuff?
Yeah, they're supposed to be designed as much as well as they can for actual use.
Right.
I mean, some of the edges on those demon faces, I'm like, I don't know if I want that hit
my
arm.
Make sure its face is a particular way.
Right.
What is it?
Demon bells. Yeah.
Demonbells.com. They're kettlebells that look like demon faces from different... He pulls them from different cultures around the world to design each weight kettlebell. The Polynesian demon is the two-pood, and it's pretty freaking sweet looking. And they're back-ordered. I think they're in customs right now, and I really wanted one of those. So maybe my next event is going to be the introduction of the two-pood.
Free promotion, Ryan.
We need to get Mike's face on a kettlebell.
We could still call it the demon bell.
Yeah. Right. That'd be scary.
Call it a beard bell.
The beard bell.
Beard bell.
What what time frame are we looking at? So you're going to do it in the fall.
Right. And I was until I thought y'all were doing faction games in September. So I was thinking about pushing it till later in November. But now I'm kind of liking the idea of a Halloween event.
Okay.
So,
that would work very well with your Demon Bell prizes.
I know. And it might. Yeah. I mean, I would love to see some people out there competing in costume.
We're going to come out.
I think that could be a lot of fun.
We're going to come out and compete. We'll bring the whole... our team is trying to find two competitions to do between now and regionals, maybe three.
Yeah.
And so, like, the whole faction crew, I think we'll come out and we're going to do yours. So,
well, thanks.
We're going to bring a good crew, and no one's going to beat us.
Mm-hmm. So. I like how CrossFit has come to the point where you could actually be a CrossFitter for Halloween. You can wear minimalist shoes and high socks and tight shorts, and you're a CrossFitter.
I got the costume on right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm ready to go.
So we're looking at fall, maybe fall? September, or thinking of Halloween time. And where's it going to be at?
That is not 100% determined.
To be determined.
Yeah, to be determined. CrossFit Music City in Nashville has about 10,000 square feet in their facility, which is great. And they've been talking about wanting to get an event in there for a long time, but the problem has been finding somebody that has the time to organize it. So here I am. That's my original CrossFit home. There's good people there. I like them. I moved to CrossFit 615 that just opened on May 13th was their opening day, because it's right in East Nashville where I have the most connections with reaching at-risk kids right now. The school bus from the high school that's zoned for this gym is going to be able to drop the kids off to me.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow. Yeah, it's exciting. The principal there actually CrossFits with his officers, and so he was the only principal that was like, what is this CrossFit? That wasn't like I had to go into a 10-minute, the eternal struggle of how do you explain CrossFit.
Right.
He immediately was like, oh, yeah, I love CrossFit.
High-intensity functional movement. I'm with you.
Yeah. Exactly. And was just like, tell me how many kids you can take. We're going to have them there. We're going to have them lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exciting. I'm starting with his kids in July. And then the month of June, I'm doing a summer camp with a nonprofit organization that's already in place. called Backfield in Motion. They work with at-risk boys, and they provide tutoring services in sports leagues. And I'm doing a summer camp in the whole month of June with them with 80 kids. It's going to be absolutely...
So it's you and 80 kids all at the same time?
No. Okay. There's four classes of 20.
Okay. Man, that's still 20 kids at one time.
I'm actually leaving here and going and buying the biggest whistle I can find today.
Yeah. You're not going to have a voice.
Maybe a foghorn. You
need a megaphone.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I do need a megaphone.
Yeah.
I always wanted the megaphone.
There's so much fun.
Kid.
So you can use them at work and at parties.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Maybe I need to get a megaphone.
Megaphone and like a taser.
I know. I joke. It's like I've been working with kids twice a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's been classes of, up to 25. And I always have the joke going about that it's like herding cats.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I focus on the squat on one kid and like three kids wander away. So you got to like figure out how to multitask or get them focusing. It really helps to get them to help me critique the squats or the movements.
Right.
They kind of light up for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was a strength coach for a wrestling team for one season.
Yeah.
Terrible. Like, I just didn't know how to work with kids.
Oh, really?
I'd been out of the Navy for like a year. Yeah. I'm just like cussing at them and stuff. And like, why don't they do what I say? I was like, I'd forgotten everything about kids. So.
And the kids are, when I first start working with them, I mean, I can't even get them to make eye contact with me. They just break my heart. They're scared of me. They're like, this girl is crazy.
How old do you say they were?
Right now I've been working with 7th grade through high school. I'm about to bump it back to 5th grade. The summer camp is 5th grade through high school. And then in July I'll be working with high school kids. When I get them trained in the fundamentals, I'm going to have them help me coach a middle school class. And then hopefully I'll be able to add a parents class soon too. I'd like to be able to add a parents class by December. That, requirement for membership is just that you have a kid participating. You don't have to pay anything. You just have to have a kid involved.
How do, are the kids coming in, is it pretty voluntary, or is the principal at the school kind of twisting some of their arms, or how does this work?
The summer camp is going to be somewhat involuntary.
Okay.
They're there for, they're also getting tutored when they're cycling through the classes.
Uh-huh.
They're also getting tutored in math, reading comprehension.
At the gym?
This is going to be at a middle school.
Okay.
So I'm going to have them in this big
field.
You'll
be training them at the school?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then, these little kids, I can't do much stuff that requires technical equipment.
Right.
Anyways, I can have kettlebells and dumbbells out there, but no powerlifting or Olympic lifting, at least... for the littlest ones, when I get the high school kids in there, I'm going to do just like a standard on ramp.
Yeah.
And then,
The focus of the younger kids is just not there.
Yeah. And they're really struggling with at that age. They seem, they're growing so fast. They're so awkward. A lot of them haven't grown up being put in sports programs their whole life. So their concept of their body and space, I had a pack of 25 kids. And some of them were young, like 11 and 12, and there wasn't one of them that knew how to do a handstand. And it was just like, I grew up doing those.
That was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I remember the same thing. Me and my brother, when I was 12 years old, we were trying to figure out who could pull the backflip off first in the living room,
Yeah. My husband sounds like he was like that. Broke his arm twice within 6 weeks, mm-hmm. flipping off the couch.
I did that. I broke my arm falling off a pull-up bar, the ones that you screw into your doorway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was swinging on because I was practicing because I want to do giants.
Oh no.
You know what giants are. High bar gymnastics where you hang on the high bar. Like I'm hanging here and then I'm going around the bar.
Oh my.
Those are giants.
Goodness.
So I was trying to practice that. I was 7 years old, right? I was trying to practice that on something that you screw into the door, and so I'm going like this. And it's screwing and unscrewing, tightening and loosening. And then I came back like this where my feet were way behind me, and then I let go because it rolled in my hands. I let go, and I came down, and I went like that, and I got a Colles fracture.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called, right, where you break your both bones here, and then you get what's called a silver spoon formation where it breaks here, and then it slides up and your hand slides back like that. So like you can go like this and touch like the end of your wrist like that.
Do you remember doing that? Could you do that?
Oh, no, I remember all of it very vividly.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I remember falling. I remember, because I fell twice. I fell twice in a row. I did it, and then I did, well, the second time is when it broke. Apparently, I didn't learn from my
genius.
First fall.
Yeah, right. Did you ever get your giant?
You know what? No, I didn't.
Uh-oh.
Never got back on the bike, huh?
I didn't. Never got giants. Giants scared the shit out of me when I was a little kid doing gymnastics.
Well, there's like, a pull-up bar out there if you want to.
Yeah.
Get it today.
Giants scared the shit out of me now.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That was one of the last things I was working on before I stopped doing gymnastics when I was a little kid.
I quit gymnastics when I was a little kid, too.
Yeah.
And I'm kicking myself for that now.
Oh, yeah. I wish I would have stuck with it, too.
Yeah, I can't decide if I'm going to make my kids stick with it or not.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic for little kids to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a rough sport to keep doing into your teens and especially into your 20s unless you're really going somewhere, like you're trying to be an Olympian. But,
right.
But when you're a little kid, I think it's fantastic.
I mean, if you just did it till 13 or 14, it'd make a huge difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, my kids, gymnastics, swimming, and Olympic lifts, and they'll be like awesome CrossFitters.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not the only CrossFit coach in the world with that plan for their kids.
Yeah, no kidding. Elijah... Easy at our gym.
Uh-huh.
He's got his little girl, Cameron. He has her doing burpees, back squat, wall walks. And she's like 2.5.
Yeah. Like, he's 3. An animal, so I'm sure that.
And she wants to do everything he's doing. She gets on the rings. He's determined. He's like, she's going to win the World Games.
So how are you coaching these kids? Are you using like CrossFit Kids type programming, or are you kind of using adult fundamentals, or how's that working?
A little bit of both. I found that I've got to keep things short. The attention span is probably the biggest struggle. The intensity, that's not really any different from when you first start working with adults, trying to get them to grasp the intensity. A lot of times, you almost have to trick them about the intensity. One of the best tricks is games. They tend to, if they think it's a game, they'll push harder partnering up. And sometimes partnering up a younger kid with an older kid seems to work pretty well because they really want to impress that older kid. And the older kids usually are better about pushing than the younger kids. Hmm. And, so the older kids will be yelling at them like, get back on the box. And they go much faster than when I yell at them. And I'm just another, teacher telling them to do something. Another thing is that when I get them to do the workouts that the adults have done and they can see it on the board and they see the adult times and they just, it's really interesting how much they just want to be a part of. I mean, all kids are going through that. My little nephew, if you want him to do something, you have to say, will you help me do this? And then he's like, okay, if you say, do you want to do this? It's a no. But if he thinks he's participating, and it's the same thing when they get older, these kids, they just want to feel like they're participating with the adults. And they get so excited. The funnest one I did with them was open wide 12.1, the burpees.
The burpees, yeah.
Yeah, because they just thought, oh, burpees are stupid. They're these like little kids that think falling down the ground and jumping up again is something they do on a regular basis.
Right.
And then, I had to cut it down to 5 minutes. Because they got 3 minutes into it and they were just like glaring at me, rolling their eyes. They were so mad. But knowing what the adults had done, they got done and were just like dumbfounded that people got the scores that the adults got in that WOD.
What kind of scores were the kids putting up? Just curious.
Well, I have a few little ninja kids and they like weigh nothing and they just bounce off the ground like it's. They're made of rubber, and they did get 100, 110 burpees. Wow. Most of them were getting around, 50 to 60. So they didn't do too bad. I mean, burpees are great for little kids. I'm like, I want to be a little kid size and try and do that burpee wad again.
It's hard to do it wrong.
That was a 7-minute wad?
Yeah, it was 7 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
So I had to cut it down to 5.
Minutes, I was like, damn.
Were they doing 105 minutes? Or did those kids do it in 7?
Yeah.
Those kids did it in 7.
Okay.
Some of the other kids, I could have them go until 7 minutes. Some of the kids, I have to cut it off at 5.
Did you ever do that? That 7-minute burpee thing?
No.
No? Did you do it?
Yes.
It was awful?
It was horrible. And
what did
I only got 86.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was happy with that.
Well, you're a taller girl, so
yeah,
that's going to be much tougher for you.
I saw Katie Hogan's video right before I did when she got the 91. And then she redid it and got, I think she got like 116. But oh, wow. So I was.
It makes no sense.
I know. So I was happy to get somewhat close to her first attempt.
Yeah.
And I tried to redo it when I was coming down with a cold a few days later. And that was not a good idea.
Really?
Oh, I did not repeat another wad the rest of the open. It was just misery, torture.
Doug did it.
I did do it.
You did? How did it go?
Pretty well. I got 111.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
Too bad. That's probably, for those of you that don't know me very well, I don't do a whole lot of burpees. it's probably like more burpees than I've had done.
Ever?
Ever, yeah. Literally probably almost ever.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's a good score. Did you do the other open wads?
No, we did that, and then we went to Ohio, and then I went to Africa.
Oh.
And so we actually were out of town. Me and McGoldrick and a few other people were in Africa for about 3 weeks, and it was right in the middle of the Open.
Well, that sounds like a good reason to miss the Open.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
I think I'd rather go to Africa.
We went on safari in a couple different areas.
Yeah, Doug was out of town because we went to Columbus first, then he went to Africa. So he was gone for like a month straight, so he missed like four.
Oh, really?
So he got to do the first one. After that, he was gone.
And this is the trip to Africa where you passed out some paleo kits?
We had paleo kits with us. We let some Africans try them out, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you were talking to me about that.
Yeah, McGoldrick got a bunch of cool pictures of him like holding up paleo kits like right
in
front of lines and stuff.
It was McGoldrick that was telling me about it because he said the paleo kit, the Steve's Club National Program, said send us some pictures. We'd love to see. And he's supposed to send the pictures to him.
Okay. I don't know if he has it or not. Well, actually, we'll get some pictures from McGoldrick and we'll edit them in to the podcast right now so you can see a couple of cool pictures.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you have to do it, Chris, because we said it on the podcast.
It's official.
We always say something for me to do and I never do it. So this will be the first time.
I've watched the podcast before and we're like, yeah, we'll put a picture in right here or something like that. And then I'm watching, it's like, he didn't do it. So lazy.
Chris is plenty busy.
He is.
No, I just never got the pictures.
That's probably part of it too. All right, someone text McGoldrick right now and tell him to email us those pictures.
No.
No.
We're going to take a break. No, we're not taking a break. Oh, geez.
But that's pretty neat. The paleo kits, they sent me a bunch of stuff to put in the prize bags. I like
very
them.
Cool.
Lee Knight is the organizer of the local branches from the national program. She's kind of the go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Liberati is the original Steve.
Okay.
And people still are emailing me saying, hey, Steve, you know, what's that? I'm like, I'm Rebecca.
Steve, you know, this is a bigger organization. It's just not one guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And people figure it out pretty quick. I actually made the mistake of emailing one of their trainers, and I think I was just thinking Steve's Club. I emailed one of their trainers and I said, hey, Steve. And I'm like, that looks pretty bad when I'm a Steve's Club branch and I don't know who Steve is. I emailed him like a few days later, I realized it. And I was like, I emailed him and was like, sorry, completely spaced that. And he's like, I wondered. I thought that was pretty odd.
How many branches are there?
Now, I was just talking about this with somebody.
The website, in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah, the original is in Camden, New Jersey. And then they started paleo kits when they were providing healthy snacks for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they started selling the paleo kits to raise money for the organization. And then people found out about Steve's Club and were like, I want to get this going in my city. What do I need to do? So they put the whole national program in place. And the 501c3 federal tax umbrella, which I'll find out more about that when I do my taxes this year. Mm-hmm. And they put Lee Knight, who just went to regionals this past weekend, or the last weekend they had regionals. She coordinates everything. On their website, it has a list of local clubs. I don't think the website's not quite up to date right now. There's probably about 10 to 12 clubs on there. My club's not on there yet, so I don't know how many other clubs aren't on there yet. So I'm guessing in the whole country, there may be, you know, 15 to 20 clubs. And they're all over New York, California. I'm going to, my CrossFit Kids cert is coming up, and I'm going to the King of Prussia CrossFit King of Prussia in Philadelphia. And they have a Steve's Club there.
So cool.
I'm excited about that. Every Steve's Club is done differently. They're all independent. I think I might be the only self-sustaining Steve's Club, or hopefully self-sustaining, we'll see. Most of them are affiliate owners that want to do a scholarship class,
okay,
or work in scholarship students in with their regular CrossFit Kids program.
I gotcha.
Or the ones that I've talked to, that's the way they're doing it. And or they're or they have just an at-risk kids class and they're an affiliate owner. So it's usually something that is done hand in hand with gym ownership. I'm doing it kind of independently, which I think will turn out could turn out to be a really good thing, because I do have, you know, when I'm not training my kids, I have all the rest of the time to invest into growing the program.
Yeah.
And trying to get it bigger and expanding it outside of just one gym. I've already talked to CrossFit Nashville, Preston, I can never pronounce his last name, I'm not going to even attempt it, is the owner there. I've already talked to him about hiring one of their trainers to do a 2:30 high school class, because it's right in this big Hispanic community that I live by there. And I see the middle school get out, and there are a lot of kids struggling with obesity that you see walking down the street, and it's like 4 out of 5 kids in middle school. Like, it's not even, they're young, they're little. So... so it's going to be interesting. You know, Lee Knight has been like, you know what? Let's just take this and run with it. I've never heard of anybody doing it this way, but it sounds like it could work. Let's see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And hopefully with these events, I think it's a possibility. You know, there's so many people that are enthusiastic about it and want to help, that I think that we could make it grow and make it a good event. You know, and people, you know, hopefully I won't have to, you know, buy massive amounts of equipment for these competitions.
Yeah.
I can get people involved in the CrossFit community to loan it to me, take it back. I had a little bit of that with the Beat the Streets. Mm-hmm. It had box jumps in it and different heights for girls and guys, teams of three. Some of the gyms didn't have enough boxes, so I was a box transporter for about a month. Just took boxes all over.
I wonder if you
could
get an equipment...
sponsor.
An equipment sponsor, yeah.
That would be nice. You're the
sponsors.
Yeah, equipment sponsors would be nice. I've had some clothing sponsors. I've talked to some clothing sponsors for the kids.
Mm-hmm. You have any official?
Nothing official.
Okay.
I'm talking to a couple companies. Okay. I really like the company Redefine Fit. So James Herbert, H-U-L-B-E-R-T.
Did they make that video about like women being size 6 and that's okay?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
No? Oh.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Sure.
Maybe, but Unbroken Performance, I've talked to them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. You know, a lot of people know about Steve's Club, and it's a well-known organization, and it does a good thing, and CrossFitters are crazy about CrossFit and thinks the world would be a better place if everybody CrossFitted.
Oh, yeah. Have you had kids that were, like, you know, the at-risk kids that, you know, get educated on nutrition, and then they got to learn all these movements? Like, you know, they'll know more than like college football players about nutrition and training.
No
I
kidding.
I promise.
Actually, yeah,
on
no
that
kidding.
Note, how big of a role is nutrition playing in the program?
They're not a big
they
role.
Just, they're just training and then going home each day. Is there separate interest in classes or a course, or is it like you do workout stuff and then you do a little nutrition and then they go home, or is it one on one?
Well,
how are you structuring that in there?
Right now, it's been one on one with the kids that are struggling. Mm-hmm. I think that I'll probably be able to really address the nutrition when I have a parents program in place.
For sure.
Because I can talk to these kids about nutrition all day long, but their parents are doing the grocery shopping. And I've got one kid that I'm working with that he's great. His name's Dierico, and he has birth defects in his legs.
Mm-hmm.
His bones are malformed. And he's very overweight. He weighs about, I think he started at 270, and he's about to start 9th grade.
Wow.
He's having surgery on his legs in July. I've gotten 21 pounds off of him last time he weighed in. So he's down to he was at 274, he's down to 253. I'm really addressing the nutrition with him. And his mother has been talked to through the organization that I'm working with about trying to get him off grains, cut back on the grains, try and keep things, you know, no processed foods. But there's so much that needs to be taught. I asked him what he had for breakfast the other day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one day it was pretty good. It was like eggs and fruit. And then he added cereal at the end of it. And I was like, try and cut out the cereal. Mm-hmm. You know, go easy on the cereal. You know, more eggs, more fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, and I talked to him about almonds, you know, almond butter or even peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And then the other morning I asked him, I said, and I've told him about grains. I asked him, well, what'd you have for breakfast? And he was like, all happy. He's like, I had a pretzel. a pretzel made out of grains.
Reading too many women's magazines.
Yeah. I know. I don't know where I got the pretzel from.
I remember being a little kid and feeling like pretzels were the healthy snack out of like the
potato chips.
Yeah.
Well, I remember being an adult and thinking that.
Seriously, there's so much shit that you were like, man, I'm doing good. And I know. You weren't doing good at all.
I used to eat those so horrible lean cuisines that now they have the spa classic lean cuisine that are supposed to be more like whole foods, less preservatives. But I just used to eat the old school lean cuisines and they're just preservatives and salt and processed food. They gross me out now.
No, I got
lean cuisines. If you're listening to this, you can send any responses to Rebecca Brown.
Sorry,
I got to eat gummy bears because podcast. They were fat free. No shit.
Oh yeah,
I could have gummy bears because they were fat free.
Fat free Oreos
I had
too, man.
Fat-free gummy bears yesterday.
Yeah,
from my birthday.
I had a lot of your gummy bears.
Apparently, Yola has the world's best gummy bears, or so Brandy says.
They were good.
They really were.
I had
very
a few.
Your everyday gummy bears.
Yesterday was Doug's birthday, and we had a blowout.
I had a blowout.
I did not make it. The pictures were on Facebook before I went to bed at like 10 at night. Mm-hmm. And they were already getting crazy, and I hear it went on till 3 and 5 in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I went home at like 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wondered, because you texted me at like 10:30. I was like, is he out partying? They get like, yeah, let's do the podcast in the morning.
We do that, by the way. Oh, really? Doug and I go out to a party, and we'll be talking about like the gym or the podcast, and we're like, oh, yeah. We start sending out emails from our phones. That's not uncommon at all.
You wake up in the morning, and you're like, why did I do that?
I'm usually happy.
We got a lot done while we're having fun. That's usually a good thing.
So, that works out.
Partying and working.
You just want to leave halfway through the party to go work on something.
Well, that probably means you're doing the right job in the right profession.
Well, everywhere we go to party with is just with the people that train at the gym. Like, our whole life is the same no matter where we go. Like, whether we're at work or whether we're having a party, it's the same group of people talking about the same stuff. It's usually like the workout gets over, we're all sitting there hanging out, and then we're like, oh, man. You guys want to get out of here? We're closing. Let's take all the same people we're talking to right now and go talk somewhere else. And we go to a restaurant.
I always feel bad for the significant others that don't CrossFit, that get dragged along to these things.
That's just a bad idea.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be able to date somebody that didn't train here.
Yeah.
Should we go into the story, Chris? No,
what?
I'm just kidding.
What story?
Never mind.
You know. The story.
No, I don't.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, Mike's on crutches, if the camera hasn't panned to the crutches yet.
I have. What do you think this is?
Yeah,
did you talk about your foot?
Yeah, so, Chris, you can put pictures up of the party.
Oh, no.
I wish there was video of that.
It was Doug, Brad, and Alex's birthday party. So, Brad rented a giant, like, air-up pool slide.
Mm-hmm. That's Alex from episode 1 and Brad from episode 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can see who those people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's like a moon bounce, people.
It's like a moon bounce, but it's a giant water slide. And it's got a pool at the bottom, and it's actually really cool. Well, the what's the name of that thing? Just the slide engineers. They blew this thing up on top of pavement. Like, there's like a slab in the backyard. And Brad was like,
but you can't see the pavement. It looks like all grass. And
right.
That thing's like, had you never been in his backyard, you just thought it
you
was
would
on
never
the grass.
Have. Yeah. So
it's just a little tarp over it.
So Brad, when they were installing, was like, I'm not so sure like on the concrete slab is the best spot. And they're like, no, it's totally the best spot. And he's like, all right, whatever you guys say, you're the slide engineers. So I've got, and before you can get to the pool, the slab starts, but there's a tarp. It's on top of a tarp, and so you just assume it's grass. So I'm like, I show up at a party, I'm like, pool slide, awesome. So I rip my shirt off and I go sprinting at it, and I just jam the ball of my foot. And not only that, there's like a metal strip like tacked onto this concrete slab. I didn't even know the concrete slab was there, let alone this metal strip. The ball of my foot just like jams right into the slab, and I just tumble into it, and everyone's like, ah, he jumped in, it was funny. And I'm in there going, no. And I was like, well, maybe as soon as I did it, I was thinking, this is really, really bad. Like, I don't think I've ever jammed my foot into something this hard before. And then I got up and I was like, oh, it doesn't feel too bad. And so I went down the slide a few times, played around. I got out, it's bleeding, and it's got other stuff going on. And now it's like, I couldn't sleep last night because it was so whatever. So I couldn't sleep. So I only have one type of painkillers in my house. And that's from when my dog got spayed.
Oh, no. What is it?
Tramadol.
Okay, that's a human medication.
Oh, good. Yeah. I took it, and 30 minutes later, it was like my wife was talking to me, and like I was hearing things like slightly behind her mouth.
Okay, so I did. I have been.
But I'm fine for this, obviously.
Yeah, how do you know that?
You're lucky.
That is?
Yeah, you know, I got into this. I was an emergency vet tech. And there's a lot of medications that dogs take at much higher doses than we take.
Oh, I just figured it'd be the other way around.
No, like...
I even thought about it. I was like, well, she weighs like 50 pounds when she got the surgery, so I'll take 3.
Fentanyl. We give dogs fentanyl, fentanyl patches. It's a very heavy-duty painkiller that you get put on for like orthopedic surgeries. Mm-hmm. If you ever took your dog's dose of that, it would kill you. Like, humans take it, but they take it in much smaller doses. Like, it is a massive dose that a dog takes. So, you're lucky. Tramadol's fine, though.
Don't do that.
Or call me first. That's right. You can message me in the middle of the night. People call me about that stuff.
I did take it and then look it up afterwards. I was like, do I need to throw this up? Like, I was like, I started second-guessing this. It's like, maybe that wasn't a good idea.
People frequently contact you in the middle of the night wondering if they can take their pet's medications.
No, people contact me in the middle of the night. I had a guy I went to. I had a guy I went to elementary schools. Girlfriend in Germany contact me from Germany and email me pictures of her kittens because she wanted... I'd never met her. I hadn't seen him
well,
since I was 10. I don't even know how he knew I worked in vet clinics. Okay. And it came up with this girl in Germany. And
Facebook.
Yeah, thank you, Facebook. I've had crazy people contact me. And that was in the middle of the night because of the time change. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it till the morning. They were fine. I'm like, what do you want me to tell you with a picture over the phone from Germany? Like, they look like they need to go to the vet. Yeah, they look sick.
Kevin Lowe, he's a vet. And I once found a dead bird and I texted it to him. I was like, what should I do?
I know. I've actually talked to him some stuff about vet stuff. I think Derek Robinson posted something about his dog's expensive hematoma in its ear. He was like mad about how much it cost and vets must make so much money. And I think me and Kevin Lowe commented on there, like, actually, no, vets don't make money, you know?
Yeah, I used to assume because they're like a doctor.
And he tagged Kevin Lowe in the post. He was like, Kevin Lowe, look at my expensive dog bandage. It was funny.
I always said, like, if it's going to cost more than like $500, then I'm just going to put the dog down.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
But that's the thing. Now I'm like up to 1,000. That's what I used to say. Now I'm like, well, now it's 1,000. But I've never had anything happen to my dog, so I don't know what.
Every girl
really
watching
happened.
This podcast just made the same sound she did. They were just like, you jerk.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. My husband says the same thing. And you know, my cat throws up and he's like, is Kitty okay? I'm like, yeah, it's a hairball.
Yeah, I love my dogs. I'd probably throw down some cash. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, is there anywhere, where can we go? Like, if we want to donate money to Steve's Club, Nashville, like if we want to help you out in your mission.
To help me out, I have a website. It's, stevesclubnashville.org. There'll be pictures, updates. There's a blog on there, although I'm new to blogging. So I'll be blogging updates on there, but bear with me.
We're gonna make our Twitter today.
I've had the conversation that I need to learn how to tweet, so I'm gonna get a Twitter going. I'll have that posted on there, how to follow on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook, too. It's facebook.com/Steve's Club Nashville. There's a click on there for contact us or donate. We'd appreciate any help. We'd also appreciate any help volunteer-wise. A few coaches have already contacted me saying, hey, I want to come help coach the kids. And I'll take all the help I can get. It's same with adults. Three trainers can say something three different ways, and one way is going to click with that person. It's the exact same with the kids.
Yeah.
I'll take all the eyes and voices and bodies blowing whistles I can get. And feel free to contact me about any questions. I've been contacted about a guy that's wanting to start up his own Steve's Club. I may go visit him in East Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Soon he may come down in the month of June and help me. But yeah, I can talk about this stuff all day long. It's what I love talking about. We'll talk to anybody about it.
Do you know what you're going to name your competition in the fall yet?
No, but I'm liking the idea of something about something around demons.
Demons for kids.
Yeah, demons for kids.
Hey, it has to be better than that freaking CrossFit for Hope poster they made. Don't do the one.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh,
really?
Is it bad?
I think we got a copy.
We got it around here
at my house.
No, what is it?
I don't want to know what you're doing with them at your house.
I'm keeping them so, like, in the future when CrossFit's a little bigger, I could be like, look at this nonsense.
Well, hopefully, maybe I'll send whatever I think of to you to approve first. Is this nonsense? I don't know. Yeah, demons for kids. The demon thing with the kids thing may not work out. But something maybe Halloween. Yeah. Halloween related.
Yeah, that's kind of like a kid's holiday anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my favorite holiday. I like kids.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up. And so make sure you guys visit fitter.tv, FITR.TV, especially if you're listening, because you won't see us putting that on the video. So... And what else we got to promote, Doug?
Just make sure that when you do go to fitter.tv, sign up for the newsletter. That way you can stay up to date with all the things that we're doing now and in the future. We frequently post new technique wads. So if you haven't checked out technique wad and you want to work on your weightlifting technique, when you're on fitter.tv, look up at the top. One of the tabs is technique wad. Just click on it and you can go through the videos. And the videos towards the very beginning of that blog, the older posts are mostly about weightlifting. Some of the more recent stuff hasn't been quite as much of a weightlifting focus, but it seems to be that people primarily go there for weightlifting technique, specifically for snatch and clean and jerk. So if you're looking to improve your weightlifting technique, that's a great resource. CTP, you got anything?
No.
Ask a question. Go to fitter.tv and click the ask a question button. There's a little survey in there, so you don't have to have, like, it's not just completely open-ended. So we help you with whatever question you might have. And it's kind of like a survey. So you can tell us if we're doing shitty or if it's too long or if I swear too much or whatever. So put whatever you want in there.
Follow Barbell Shrugged on Twitter. We're about to go live here pretty soon. The episodes will start being live, so you'll be able to tweet at us during the show. And that should be fun.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be cool. All right, guys.
And one more time, what was your website?
Steve'sClubNashville.org. Feel free to check it out. It's got my email on there. It's got my phone number. Any questions, feel free to send me a message. Give me a call. If the calls get out of control, maybe I'll have to put a fake number on there. But the email will work. I don't think the calls will get out of control.
So can we donate money through the website?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, the donate, it has a little widget on there for donating if you want to donate with a credit card. It also, is hooked up straight with the national program. It's all, the widget on there is all worked out.
Cool.
For the local clubs.
All right.
Yeah. Very cool.
All right, guys. See y'all next time.
All right.
Good job.
Dude, was I supposed to say like...
You are a talker. We can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I told you I can talk and talk. Oh, I should have said something about thank you for doing this on there.